I'll start it from the beginning. I got a mystery mark on my HSC results. Do you know what a mystery mark is?
No.
That's when you get 30 or below.
Oh.
Yeah, so I...
What do they call it?
They call it a mystery mark.
A mystery mark, right.
Yeah, so what they do is they'll send like a little smiley face on your on your envelope to say that you got
Did you actually get a smiley face?
I got a smiley face.
That's so nice.
Yeah, yeah. My parents didn't see it though. But here's what strikes me. I passed everything. Funny enough that you said TikTok, you were actually the person that got me to have a strategy around TikTok. At the time, it was all kids. But then you were like, I've started TikTok as well. I'm pretty much giving advice on some digital trends and so forth. I picked up like 18,000 followers. And I'm like, what the hell? How did you do it? You're speaking
marketing.
You're speaking on business and marketing. That's not TikTok. And I just, that clicked to me. I'm like, there is an audience on every platform.
That's, we know where we're getting old.
Yeah.
When we're no longer the ones being complained about.
Yes.
And we're doing the complaining.
Yes. That's
right. Because I remember it used to be millennials. Yeah. Like, oh, millennials. They're like, if you like, you know what I mean? We're the millennials. You know, getting old, we're like, these Gen Z.
The TikTok generation, yeah.
But this is the thing, right? Yeah. Like, everything you said is right, and I've seen it and I felt it. And at the same time, there's people in our generation who are dropkicks too.
Yes.
We forget that. The thing is, what we do need to recognize, to your point, is like the generations are different, and that's okay. We cannot expect them to be like us. Mm. And what I wanted to say to the CEOs, you have no choice. You have to work with them. Welcome to Inbound Buzz. My name is Moby Sadiq, and today we've got a special guest who's not only a client of ours, but also a friend I've known for 5 years across a number of different companies. He's the head of one of Australia's most respectable renewable energy companies. He's worked at News Corp, PricewaterhouseCoopers, Volkswagen. Welcome to the show, Mr. Bas Salim.
Thank you for having me, Moby. This is long overdue.
I know.
We've spoken about this for a long time. I think now we finally got the time to do it.
Are you finally here?
I'm excited, man.
Finally here. Look, I can't wait to hear about, you've done so much across so many different businesses. Love to hear about what you're doing now and some of the stuff that you do on LinkedIn as well. But before we get into it, just fill in any gaps for the listeners. Tell us a little bit about your background.
I've been in my marketing career, it's probably been 12 plus years. Outside of that, I'm a Bulldog supporter.
No.
So you're going to hate that.
We should get rid of the blue color then.
That's perfect. No, it's working. It's working great. I've worked in multiple industries. I just find marketing so fascinating, and it can be transferable across any industry. Any industry really needs marketing, whether it's offline or online. So it's a career that I think I was linked to since I was a kid. So, and I hope people can understand like where I'm coming from during this podcast. I won't go too deep into it, but yeah.
No, it's all good. Yeah. And I like your perspective because you haven't just worked in automotive or finance or e-com or now home services, like across all of those.
Yeah.
And you being a client of ours and also like, you know, working with you over the years, I've seen how you've actually transferred those skills across. I think you have a unique perspective there. But before we get really deep into it, I'm curious, did you go to university? And B, would you recommend, because sometimes we have a bunch of young listeners, so for the young listeners, would you recommend anyone still go university these days?
Funny enough, I'll start it from the beginning. I got a mystery mark on my HSC results. Do you know what a mystery mark is?
No.
That's when you get 30 or below.
Oh.
Yeah, so I-
What do they call it?
They call it a mystery mark.
A mystery mark.
So what they do is they'll send like a little smiley face on your on your envelope to say that you got
Did you actually get a smiley face?
I got a smiley face.
That's so nice.
Yeah, yeah. My parents didn't see it though. But here's what strikes me. I passed everything. Made sure I passed everything, right? I was, at the time, I was really still trying to consider what my plan was. I had no plan whatsoever. I had hobbies. Hobbies were probably, I was in, I like sports. I was good with my fitness. I was like, maybe personal training might be a career for me. But honestly, it wasn't. It just ended up, I found out, thank God, very easily that it was a hobby rather than a career. But then I built my way up. I went to TAFE. I did business admin for Cert 3 and 4. And when I did that, I actually got qualified to, qualified? Did you say qualified? I ended up going to uni after that. I went to Western Sydney University, studied a Bachelor of Business and Commerce, majored in marketing and management. But I always had a love-hate relationship with university. I don't think it's for everyone. Even if for these days that there might be some variables for people, they're either going for university because their parents told them to go to, or for their parents to tell other people, oh, look, my son or daughter are doing this. or you're really trying to prove yourself. But I don't believe that everyone knows what they want to do early on, straight after high school. There's a high, I think there was a study to say there was a high percentage of people doing a second bachelor's degree because they deferred the original one because it just wasn't what they're expected or what they were expecting. That could be probably to the teachers telling them or, you know, fear-mongering to say, if you don't go to university, you won't adapt to anything. I'm not anti-university. I'm not pro-university. I'm always neutral. I think there are great resources online, free, paid, that are costing much less for you to go to university, for you to build up your skills and so forth. But that's also dependent on the individual and their motivation, whether they want to do that. If they go to if they go to university, there's always a push from lecturers to their professors or teachers to tell them you need to hand this in, and there's an expected timeline for you to hand it in, and you need to get recite all these, and you need to get all these references, and there's always a structure for it. So it builds up that organizational skills for that. If you already have those skills, I don't think university is really worth it. You're going to end up getting in debt. Everyone knows that. But yeah, I'm always neutral with that.
So I did two degrees. I did a bachelor's and a master's.
Sure.
And I probably shouldn't have done that. And like yourself, like you just don't know any better.
Mm.
But we had like a young guy who came in and wanted to do an internship. I gave him a bunch of books to read. I'm like, do this. And he's like, oh, I want to do a degree. Yeah, I actually, the advice, so now like in 2024, the advice I gave to him, I'm like, don't do it, man. Don't do that. Like you can, especially with marketing, right? The field that we're in, it's so dynamic. It's so hard to like hear some coursework.
Yeah.
Like only until recently, like they weren't even really teaching digital marketing. Like when I did it, they weren't teaching digital marketing.
I wasn't. Yeah, I'll add on to that. I probably used up 5% of what I learned at uni to my current career. Throughout it all.
Yeah, that's so, it.
Yeah.
Like this young guy said to him, I go, look, if you really want to, I don't mind the idea of doing a certificate or a diploma, something short, because at least it gives you that strategic thinking. Because the other risk is, so like I'm sort of probably a little bit like you, neutral, but also a little bit leaning towards don't do it. Because one thing I do, this the thing that I'm guessing you like about uni too, it at least, like you said, it gives you structure. It gives you some strategy thinking.
Yeah.
Instead of, oh, I need to do a Facebook post. Like, the problem with most marketers, they're very tactical. So it does give you some strategy thinking. So I think if you do a diploma or a certificate, something like that, like a year or 6 months, I think that's a good foundation. But apart from that, man, you know.
Always apply. The main goal is to always apply for yourself to study and learn, whether that be at university, whether that's on your own free time. If you know a skill or if you're building your skills to learn more, and constantly learn, that is the goal. And essentially, that's how universities market it. But they've been failing at that recently because it's a one concept study all type of situation, expecting everyone to succeed. But people fall out of debt. They fall into debt. Or sometimes they'll just literally just do it for their families, you know? So, yeah.
That's not a reason.
Exactly.
But anyway, moving off that chapter's behind us now, thank God, no more university. talk to me about self-branding because you've got a little bit of a presence. You do some stuff online. You do some stuff on LinkedIn. But talk about how important what you've done and how important that's been for you in your career.
Look, I think every person that's wishing to be successful or network or try to develop skills and showcase those skills somehow, LinkedIn is a perfect place for that of all platforms. LinkedIn gives you the opportunity to, tell people that, oh, I've succeeded in this and this is the way that I did it. Or there's different mediums of showing that, whether that be an article, a post, a video, sometimes a PDF that you can post and they'll scroll through that. And I was always interested to see like, okay, I've seen some of the people that I always see on my LinkedIn do this. Why am I doing that? Like, surely I can. I'm always interested about current trends that are happening in marketing or business world or whatnot. Sounds like a nerdy type of thing to say, but I was like, why don't I start something and see how that would go? Literally, I started an article or a newsletter called Trend Torch, and it was pretty much everything that's trending. Everything that's it could be marketing, it could be sales, it could be business related, it could be campaigns, it could be everything that's trending. And I uploaded my first article and I found out that I just had 65 people subscribe then and there. And it just told me that I'm not speaking without getting any responses.
Mm.
It's always great to see, to get reward. But then I found out that, wait, I'm actually getting better at writing. I'm getting better at researching. I'm getting better at like understanding this. And I'm applying these types of strategies into my own campaigns. And it will help my self-branding, but it'll also help my current career to-
Yeah, help your craft.
Exactly, develop my skills and expand on it. So I believe that if you're someone that's currently trying to figure out whether you're in an industry where you're not on LinkedIn, or you're in an industry where they really don't seek out different platforms, that's the perfect opportunity for you to go on there.
Yeah,
you could be
so true.
You could be starting that trend. You could be developing your own skills and find out that, wow, I'm actually great at something that I never even knew that
so
that
true.
Was the case. So
you're hitting at the thing that you probably heard me talk about and probably heard Marcus talk about, like the but we're different.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right, Bass. Like, do it for the reason why that people aren't there. People said that about TikTok. Like,
yes.
When TikTok first came out, like, they had dentists there. See, now it's common sense. Now it's like, now lawyers are like, oh, let's get onto it. But lawyers, dentists, medical professionals, all types of different, like engineers. And it's like, oh, they're not on TikTok. But they've literally grown their businesses. I'm not saying follow TikTok, but the point you made, right, is if there's a network that they're not on, and you're like, if you're more visual or written or video, you can actually create content and actually have an audience.
Funny enough that you said TikTok, you were actually the person that got me to have a strategy around TikTok. I don't know if you remember. It was the first time that we ever met.
Right.
You told me, I was tossing between the idea of like going on TikTok because it was another platform that we could reach other audiences. At the time, it was all kids. But then you were like, hang on, like I've started TikTok as well. I'm pretty much giving advice on some digital trends and so forth. I've picked up like 18,000 followers. And I'm like, what the hell? How did you do it? And if anything, not because of like yourself, but like you're speaking
marketing.
On,
yeah.
You're speaking on business and marketing. That's not TikTok. And I just, that clicked to me. I'm like, there is an audience on every platform. And everything you do, if you sync it to the platform, it's not a simple copy paste scenario, but if you sync it to the platform and the messaging that they apply to it, you could potentially get a whole set of audience that you never knew existed. Granted, LinkedIn does have some cringy posts sometimes. And there are people that are just talking for the sake of talking. You look at them, you're like, oh man, just like you don't talk like that in real life. You don't sound the way that you do. But you know, it is a professional platform, and but it makes sense. Every platform is different in its own messaging, but the result could ultimately be the same.
I have one thing I want to touch on before we move off of LinkedIn. You're right, like they don't talk like that. So over the years on my posts, and that's the thing, you touched on this and I think we'll touch on this later, like it makes you a better marketer, like
yes.
Your messaging. One of the things people on LinkedIn, they're so stuffy. You're like, you know, they'll be, maybe they're talking about SEO. Like, did you know that search optimization is the number one source of traffic for, people don't talk like that.
Yeah, no.
They'll literally be like, SEO gets me a shit ton of leads.
Yes.
Or you don't need to say the S word. You can say SEO gets me a boatload of leads. Mm. Here's how. Like really conversational.
Yes.
And Alex Hormozi talks about this, right? Like his book, $100 Million Leads and Offers as well, is really highly recommended. If you read his book, it's all simple language. And he's a genius. Marcus Sheridan, his book, really simple language.
Mm.
He's a marketing genius.
Yes.
But I think, you're right. You touched on that. Like if you don't, and that's the tip there, talk how you talk. Yeah, you might finesse it a little bit. I might not say the S word as much, or you know, I'm trying. It's Ramadan, so I'm trying not to say the F word anymore.
Yeah.
So I won't drop that, but it's still me and my personality.
Yes.
I think that's really key.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just on that, like, because I do think that the new generation kind of struggles with that a little bit, like creating content, and you know, that's a big piece of advice for them. But just on that, the current generation, this is something that comes up a lot. I was at the CEO Institute yesterday, and they were. Just like 20 minutes was just bitching and moaning about the younger generation. And at one point I want to say, guys, like we have to work with this generation.
Yeah.
Like you've got to get over it. But from a marketing point of view, my question is like, or maybe just a career point of view, right? Like how different is the new generation, you know, compared to your generation or my generation? Hopefully we're in the same generation. I'm not that old.
Millennials.
We're millennials. We're the same generation.
That's
cool.
It.
I feel younger.
That's it.
So how different is that the up and coming generation?
I can only speak on my experience and what I've currently seen on this generation, right? I was speaking to a colleague of mine and he gave me this example and I think this will paint a light on this. He was a teacher and he taught writing. And one of his students came up and they were saying, look, I can't, can I get an extension? I can't get the piece to you because my printer's not working. He sent an email back like, I don't care. Do what you need to do. Go to the library. Try to get it somewhere.
Works.
Exactly. Yeah. Print it some other way. It's not my issue because your printer's broken. Try to find a solution. And then that pretty much gave me an idea of like the differences between the generations. And I hope this doesn't sound like I'm complaining about the current generation because they are technically the smartest, but sometimes dumbest generation as well, right? They are expecting to earn a job as soon as they graduate university, college, TAFE, high school, whatever, earn a job in their career and straight away get a promotion as soon as they do something good. There is not a sense of weight or reward system that is succinct with us where we have to work hard, we have to make sure we're shown and our work is proven, the results are coming in and so forth. Like, we understand the concept of it takes time and this is a long-term aspect. With them, everything is short-term. Everything is in the sense that I want to be a CEO by the time I'm this, so I can tell everyone that I'm a CEO and I did it differently. And at the time, they are the generation that if it doesn't go their way, that is straight away synced to a sense of being discriminated against or being not seen or heard or supported and the access that they're given. And I just find that somehow that it can't resonate with myself. I never had the opportunity the luxury to be comfortable at any stage that I was working. I started work when I was 14 and I never, if I was discriminated against, I can't speak because if I did, I'd lose my job and I can't lose my job. There's no way about it. I needed to do every work that I needed to do for me to continue progressing in my career.
Put your head down to the work.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I think this is the thing, right? And by the way, that's, we know when we're getting old.
Yeah.
When we're no longer the ones being complained about.
Yes.
And we're doing
complaining.
Yes. Right?
That's why.
Because I remember it used to be millennials. Yeah. Right? Oh, millennials. We're like, ah, oh, F you. Like, you know what I mean? We're the millennials. You know, getting old, we're like, no, these Gen Zs.
The TikTok generation, yeah.
But this is the thing, right? Yeah. Like, you know, this is what we don't realize, right? Like, you're right. Everything you said is right. And I've seen it and I felt it. And at the same time, there's people in our generation who are dropkicks too.
Yes.
We forget that. The
absolutely.
Thing is, we, and what we do need to recognize to your point is like the generations are different and that's okay. We cannot expect them to be like us.
Mm.
And what I wanted to say to the CEOs yesterday, we just ran out of time and I didn't, but I will next time. It's like, you have no choice. You have to work with them. They have their follies like we have our follies and they have their merits. You have to learn how to work with them. And I read this in a book somewhere in generally for all employees, but this applies to young people even more. You can have, they will rise to high expectations, but they have to be told. And for us, it's like, well, why do I need to be told? What I've learned, unfortunately, they need to be told and you need to get over that.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, they'll be like, okay, now I know. But we just expect them to know, right?
Yeah.
So the thing that you can have high expectations because it's about your culture as well. Like the workplace culture, we have a high performance culture at Red Pandas. I know you guys do at your place as well. High performance, like either you're kind of get in and get out, but it's not just high expectations. It's high expectations matched with high care.
Yes.
That's where this generation I've learned is different, right? That's where me and our other leadership team, we've had to be nurturers and we've had to be a bit more kind and understanding. At the same time, balance that with high expectations.
Yeah.
I think a lot of bosses or leaders who complain about that generation, what they don't realize is you can give them high expectations too. This is what we expect of you, right? But we're going to do it in a high care place. And you mentioned that, right?
Yes.
They need mental health. We didn't need it, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But they have other skills. They need mental health days.
It wasn't existing when we were around.
Yeah, it was a bad day.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
Get on with it.
Correct.
But we need, and look, me as a leader, Bass, I had to get over that fact. I'm like, okay, I need to recognize that I'm now aging.
Yeah.
I'm now different. Mm. And I need to figure out how to get the most out of this generation. But I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're right. You're right. I didn't want to come across that
no,
I'm
and you didn't. It's all right.
I hope that honestly, I do really see them as being the smartest generation. And you're right. We do have to. Excuse me. We do have to acknowledge that we're going to just have to work with them. They're the only ones that we got. We're getting older.
That's right.
The other people are getting older and so forth. And
they're getting older and they're expensive. Like, do you know what I mean? It's, you got to balance that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, absolutely. Like, I mean, the last thing on that, like my son, I've got a kid in high school, year 7, and my daughter's in year 5. And he had to do a speech. I think it was my daughter. One of them had to do a speech. So I'm like, ask ChatGPT. So I'm actually telling them to lean into that tech.
Yes.
The schools, the academics, some parents are like, oh, no, no, no. I'm like, no, you need to be AI native, right? We were, I don't know if, okay, we were internet native. We grew up with the internet.
Yeah.
And then there's like the social media native.
Yeah.
Right? But now you're going to have the, even the next generation, I've got the a AI. Baby too, AI native.
Yes, correct.
Right? These guys need to know how to learn and use these tools. We can't tell them not to. So with my kid, I'm like, look, have like put some dot points in terms of what you want, feed it, have a conversation with it, and it will give you, and it spit it out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, good. Mm. Tweak it a little bit for your language or tell it to write in a 10-year-old's language and go with it.
Is it more the sense of fear, like fearing out, like FOMO in a way? You don't want to be the last person to use AI and you're still learning while others are miles ahead. They know everything and they're the ones that, oh, we got to teach this guy how to do AI, really?
You exactly. Yeah. Like we're expecting this next generation to teach us,
absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
But let's pivot a little bit like go. To something that is like foundational, fundamental, that won't go away. It wasn't like 30 years ago, 50 years ago, it was there, and 50 years from now, it will never, ever change.
Mm.
And that's trust.
Yes.
Right? So one thing I want to talk to you about is you've been doing They Ask, You Answer with us.
Yeah.
Right? And I know you're a fan of that. You've read the book. But
Shout out Marcus.
We'll share this with him now.
Yeah, yeah.
So talk to me about your They Ask, You Answer journey.
Yeah.
How long you've been doing it. We'll start from there.
It's been around, I'd say 7 months that we've been doing They Ask, You Answer. And the first concept that came across with my me learning about the strategy, and I was like, man, how did I not come up with this? How was I not the person to think about this? It's the most simplest, I will say it's the simplest marketing strategy out there, marketing and sales in a way. I found out that I do this on a regular anyways, but I'm not doing it to the sense that it's benefiting me, my customers, my audience, and so forth. So my first time, honestly, it was like a light bulb moment that already had a light bulb moment for Marcus when he done it, like when, 20 years ago?
Yeah, yeah, almost, right? 2007.
Yeah.
Briefly, how would you explain They Ask, You Answer? Like when you say it's the simplest, yeah, what is it at its core?
So how I understand it is it's sort of moving into how your customers or your audiences, if they have questions and whatever questions they have, you pivot and then you build your entire marketing strategy around those questions. You add those campaigns answering those questions or sort of massaging them and nurturing them to note that we have the answers for that. You can go here and create the simplest form of mapping journey that there is. And whether that be through video, whether that be through everything they read and everything they position themselves, everything that they are around, you want to be the front face of having those answers that they have those questions for.
Mm.
So, yeah, is that simple?
Yeah. I mean, it's common sense, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
They have questions, concerns, you answer them.
Yeah.
And what They Ask, You Answer does, you're right. Like, it gives you a framework on how to do that.
Definitely.
But what's really, well, two things are surprising, like how simple it is, but also one, like how few people do it.
Yeah.
They think they are, but they don't do it.
Yes.
But on the results side, talk to us, and obviously without divulging anything sensitive, right? But obviously we respect that. But talk to us about some of the results so far.
Yeah, look. From an organic point of view, we've actually increased by 6x, six times organically people are visiting us. And we're sort of positioning ourselves as the center of our industry. Whether it's something that obviously we don't provide or we don't have within our company, we can be the industry leaders and educators around that as well. We can even send that customer to the right place. Because you said it yourself, the most important part is the trust and reassurance aspect, where they're having a complete trust in us. Even we're not being too pushy, too selly, too everything. We're just answering their question point blank,
yeah.
Simple as that. And that's resulted in not paid, but organic traffic really coming to us. And it's also really improved every aspect that we've gained from the content that we produce to the communication that we provide as well.
It's one good example of that. And anyone who doesn't know anything about They Ask, You Answer, definitely Google it. But One of the types of content is versus content.
Yeah.
And you're right. You have to be really authentic. You can't just be like, okay, here's this product versus that product, but ours is better. You have to literally say like, this is what this one's really good for, right? And you guys will offer that, right? And this is the other thing. This is the difference between the two.
Yeah.
And the other thing has merits too. If you want A, B, C, if A, B, C is important to you, then the other thing that we don't offer is going to be better for you. Because then when you talk about the thing you do, they trust you so much more.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? So it's not about like just talking about, you know, five apps that the audience would love. It's actually really salesy stuff. Like when I say salesy, I mean it's revenue stuff, but it's not done in a salesy way.
Absolutely. I'll touch upon that one. Imagine a Nike marketer was to do a comparison between Nike and Adidas. But when they are speaking on Adidas, they're not coming from a malicious perspective. They are actually providing the positives of owning anything that's Adidas. And or in America, it's Adidas, I think.
Yeah, I think it's Adidas. But you know what? I actually had this debate with my wife.
Yeah.
It's from America, so they're actually right.
Adidas, yeah. There you go.
Nike, I thought we were right.
Nike and or Adidas. Nike versus Adidas.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if they were to speak on Adidas and give the positives of using their merch or buying their merch, imagine the trust and reassurance or the confidence you have in your company to say like, I can speak on the positives because I know our value is much stronger. What I'm offering you is on a level that I know is answering your needs and wants currently. Yeah. So the person is going to look at that, be like, you know what? They're very confident in how they speak. I think I'm going to try them first. I think I'm going to pull my attention and time towards them.
And for those who don't realize, like forget paying an SEO agency, doing they ask you answer. And you and I used to have a lot of these conversations back in the day. It is the best strategy you could do.
Yeah.
Having an article writer who does all of that stuff.
Plus, let's be honest, even if you were to get someone in SEO, you don't understand what they're doing. It is so complex. There are so many factors that they're going to use these terminologies and words and so forth. Exactly. So, look, SEO, it's fantastic. But like I said, it's the organic traffic that you're really after. And this is exactly the strategy for it.
That's right. And the right types.
Yeah.
You're right. Maybe briefly talk about video.
Yeah.
The impact of video.
Well, when you're a business or a company, you want to showcase the results. You want to showcase the process. You want to showcase exactly what your company does. And funny enough, not a lot of companies do that. They feel like that by being transparent, they're going to reveal all their secrets towards their competitors. I disagree with that. I think that providing that transparency towards your customers really showcases your confidence with them. Really, like when you're providing a how-to tutorial or a comparison between one product versus another product, and you're telling the positives and negatives and all, and completely being unbiased. It's just your personal opinion, but also having some evidence to back that up. That visually will create so much boost in audience traffic than there could ever be. I find storytelling or using video as a platform or sorry, as a medium is so important in a company's marketing strategy. And let's say some people might be not comfortable behind the camera or they're just, they're not that case. Too bad. You're going to get your competitors to start regardless. You're going to fall behind. And if it's enough for you to earn the revenue that you're earning, or the traffic that you're earning, fair enough. That's fine. But that there's a reason why that won't make you either top three or top five within your industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Spot on. Show them. Don't tell them.
Yeah.
You know, it's the best way. I talk to so many leaders and they talk about their strengths, but then there's nothing on their website or their media that shows that. You're absolutely right. Before we move off of Taya, the last thing I want to talk about is because this is something that you should be really, really proud of. I know you worked hard on this and you continue to work hard on this. Is sales and marketing teams working together. Let's be honest, most sales and marketing teams don't get along. They might play nice, but really it's an us versus them. So talk to me about like the impact of Taya and what you've done with sales and marketing teams working together.
From the past companies or past industries that I've worked with, that's been the biggest issue, aligning with sales or sales aligning with marketing. And I just found that to be so unproductive. And coming into the team that I'm on and just understanding that, I knew that whatever strategy that was to come to place, I don't want it to come to a level where whatever goes wrong, it's an automatic blame. It's an automatic response in negativity.
Marketing's fault.
Exactly. Sales fault. No, there's no blame. We are one team. In fact, if we work together, just think of the benefits and think of the results that are going to come out of it. People forget that without sales, then marketing won't exist, or without marketing, sales won't exist. And that's why they are, I like to think of them as like the two brothers that just have to get along. And when they do get along, it's a perfect, what's the word that I can use? It's just perfect, you know? When there are sales meetings, marketers really tend to be like, oh, it's just a sales meeting. You need to join those sales meetings. You need to understand the sales process, and vice versa for sales professionals. You need to understand the marketing process as well, because when you're communicating towards your customers or your audience, and you're the voice, and essentially you're selling the product or service, by not understanding how they even got there to begin with from the campaigns that they chose or from whatever they've been seeing on their social media feeds, how are you going to confidently say, like, I know exactly what you need. I know exactly what you need to go to.
So tell me, Bass, about, tell the listeners really quickly what a revenue team is and how you've used that to have that synergy with sales and marketing.
We've gotten together a group of leaders that will sit down and they will all cohesively just speak. I think that's the right word to use. They will all sit down and they will all pretty much spit out or brainstorm some ideas or some strategies around some questions that the audience has been using. And if we don't have an answer
in the sales process,
as well, if you don't have an answer for that, that's the perfect time for us to address it. It's so funny. It seems so simple, right?
No one does it.
Exactly. But when it is a leadership meeting, it's very little talk of that. It's all talks of profits and losses and what's to happen from there, and very little on, guys, we have these low-hanging fruits that will bear so much fruit once we fix it. Why don't we start now? Let's get a team together. This is the leadership team. And in fact, sometimes I don't just really want to put the leadership team there. You can bring on some team members that could be juniors, seniors, because sometimes they have these light bulb moments that honestly I can never think of. Even if they're not marketers, even if they're not sales, get them from different perspectives, because everyone speaks to everyone. Everyone is part of this company.
It's a touch point.
Exactly. I just found that the revenue team meeting where we get everyone involved, it actually created so many different strategies for us to work on. And that's been a real drive to our success, really.
Yeah. And it's not just relying on your head anymore.
Definitely.
You know, it's like, let's share some brains here.
It really helps. It really helps. It
makes your job easier.
I talk less.
That's the key thing with marketing, definitely. Right? Cool. So we are coming up to time, but I did want to briefly ask you about, like, what's your approach on staying ahead? Obviously, you got the Trend Torch thing. Yeah. So, you know, if you guys are watching or want to check that out, please either go to redpandas.com.au/EP157 so you can see the video in the show notes. Or Google it. But if you go check out the show notes, we'll definitely link Trend Torch there and you can subscribe to Bass's amazing newsletter. So the question there is, what's your approach with staying ahead with trends, and what are a couple of quick tips you can give people to be ahead of that as they sort of see out the rest of the year?
Sometimes people are very content with what they are. If they're in a career and they're only focusing on the work that they do, that's fine. That's completely fine. It's just a job to them, and sometimes they have some side hobbies, but I like to think of it as a side hobby regardless, because there's a level of excitement every single time. I found that repetition in my work has really ended up being unproductive, and I will constantly do the same campaigns and same aspects, and it never drives me. I found that by doing Trend Torch, by even applying myself to even write a newsletter to begin with, it helped with my research to understand different trends in marketing, sales, and business. It helped me to navigate my platform to brand myself as someone that is, you know, you can come to me to understand new things that I actually been seeing, or I can put a review on what's been happening. A good example of that is completely different is the, I did a post on Kanye and how his Super Bowl commercial was so successful and so genius. He spent his entire budget to gain that time slot in Super Bowl, but he ended up just filming himself on an iPhone and just putting his website underneath. It was genius.
It was so good.
It was so, it was so good.
But it looked so cheap that it was so cool.
It was so good. Yeah. And it intrigued so many people. It was like, wait, what is this about? Let me go on this website. When he did, he ended up doing like about 20 million in sales just then.
And the spot cost him 20 million. Exactly. Got it, he got it back.
He got it back. But think of that. Like, he ended up getting all this audience, all this traffic, and all this different opportunities for him to gain these people. And they're going to be returning customers too. So 20 million is going
to
be.
I tried to go on that website because I learned about it from your newsletter actually. Yeah. And everything was sold out.
Yeah. There you go.
Right. And the thing about
not just sold out. Sorry to cut you off. Not just sold out. They were all $20.
Yes.
Yeezys.
Simple.
Exactly. Yeah. One particular cost structure for everything that he put on display. When, let's be honest, Yeezys are very expensive even if you're not familiar with Kanye, this guy's a cultural icon. Whatever he puts, even if they're weird as hell, you will still be like, wait, I can understand why they're $1,000. Why are people like selling them for even more and more and more, and people are buying them? There's just a level of intrigue that is unreal.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. And the thing that he does that, like, it's so simple, but he did it so much better than so many Super Bowl ads. He had a call to action.
Definitely.
He's like, oh, we spent all that. Simple, right? Yeah, simple, simple, simple. We spent all of our money. Even that, because it's so, everything is so high production, him going so lo-fi was the cut through.
Definitely.
And then he's like, go to Yeezy.com and it was so smart.
That's it.
So smart.
Yeah.
Cool. Bats, I could talk to you all day. I would love to have you on again, and we'll talk more about strategies and whatnot.
Anytime.
But from us, and I guess from on behalf of the listeners, thank you so much for joining us today.
Appreciate it.
Any passing thoughts or comments?
Subscribe to this, definitely. I'm definitely a regular listener for that. And if you wanna, if you're in the interest of really building up your brand or current brand or whatever, this is the perfect podcast for you. But thank you for having me.
Thank you, Bass. I'll pay you later. But we'll join you again for another episode of Inbound Buzz.
Thanks for listening to Inbound Buzz. Learn anything? Return the favor by spreading the word. Want to make your mark in digital? Need help with your digital strategy, inbound, and marketing automation efforts? Then visit redpandas.com.au and be sure to tune in next time for another Inbound Buzz hit.